Almighty God, Lord, please be in this place and give us wisdom and understanding so we may understand your words, your truth, and that you're speaking, not me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, has anyone recently read the latest signs? It may not have ever been handed out. What you'll find in the latest Signs of the Times magazine is a little bit of information about artificial intelligence. Has anyone heard much about artificial intelligence? You have heard a little bit? Anyone? Artificial intelligence? A little bit? Yes? It's actually quite scary when you start digging into it. And I'm sure some of you have watched some movies at some stage, back when Terminator came out. I was actually in primary school and my friends were watching it and were going, what is this movie? I ended up watching it when I was a little bit older, but there's this whole idea of being taken over by robots and machines that we create. But anyway, just to give you a little bit idea on what's happening with artificial intelligence, has anyone ever used Siri or Google? You've used artificial intelligence. Has anyone, what else have we got? Has anyone ever heard of the game, called Go? You ever heard of that? It's a Japanese game. It's a really popular game in Japan. People actually dedicate their lives to playing it and competing in it. Has anyone ever heard of checkers. Obviously you've heard of it. It's the one where you've got the king and the queen. Chess, that's the one. You've heard of chess, right? Now, it takes a bit of thought to play chess. Well, I'll give you a little bit of a history of AI. Jeopardy. There was a computer that was programmed with a whole lot of information, and it had to pick this information quickly in a game of Jeopardy that was against a human. And this computer was, I think it was IBM's supercomputer at the time. It was quite a few years ago now. And it won against the human. Turned forward a few years later, then we have an actual AI computer that is not just recalling information or calculating just the best ways to go. It has gone and competed against the world's best chess players. And won. And move forward till I think 2015 or 2016. The game Go. It has more moves than there are possible moves. That is, there is more potential moves, or structured. I'm not sure how you'd portray it really, but it moves, and there's more ways of winning a game or processing through a game than there are atoms in the universe. Now you cannot program a computer with all the potential moves for it to calculate how to win. This computer that won Go, it actually had to learn how to beat its opponents. It actually was programmed with an algorithm that is similar way of thinking than the human brain thinks. A similar, what it would do is it had compartments where it would recall information, and it was able to self-teach or self-learn. So it would then see how other people played the game of Go, and it would go, they're doing it that way. I wonder if I did these moves, if I'd beat that person. And the primary purpose of this program is to beat the opponent. And lo and behold, the world's best went against a computer, this AI, and it was beaten. So the human was beaten. AI won. And what this reveals is the progress of AI over the last few years, how it has gone to the point of just being able to design simple things, which are quite complex in the engineering field, to being able to compete with humans on the best level that we can compete on. That's in the mind, that is. And right now, we are sitting on a precipice. We are sitting on a precipice of a massive change within this world. This change will be so big, it will be far larger than the Industrial Revolution. It will be huge. What's going to happen with this AI revolution is, once AI can self-learn to a certain point, and it will then be able to do better than us in many tasks in our life. Obviously, robotics has to catch up with it, but the thing is, this AI is going to do away with so many of our jobs that we don't realize it. There's already talk about a base wage for every human, because there'll be so many people done out of jobs. Yet they're going to find that they believe that they're going to find that there's going to be so much of our life taken over, you could say, or replaced with this new technology. So Siri, I've already talked about. Have you ever heard of self-driving cars? Not that long ago, someone was killed by a self-driving truck. It couldn't distinguish between, I can't remember, there was two things that it couldn't distinguish between. But the problem is with AI is it cannot go necessarily have a moral decision yet as to what is the best thing to, best person to save. If there's two people, what do I do? Do I take this one or this one? So there's these moral dilemmas that humans would be able to possibly do better. But in reality, I don't believe that we do any better than AI. This is one accident with a truck over how many trucks are still running around in America and wherever with AI. But in reality, the AI is going to take over in a sense. And it's happening. Have you ever heard of autonomous weapons? Yeah, not so. Well, stealth bombers, I think they're still manned, like the big bombers. But there are drones and autonomous weapons where it has been that people are connected to these via links where they can see what's happening and they can control when it shoots and who it shoots and all those sorts of things. But I believe that there are already some autonomous jobs being done outside of the human realm. They may say that here's a target, and it goes and takes that target. But the reality is, it will get to the point where they can take it out of the human's hands, but then if there's an innocent child in the way, what does it do? Is it going to be programmed right to do it safely? And again, in reality, not having a human at the helm is a bit dangerous if you ask me. But the reality is, this is the way weapons are going. This is the way the world is going. And we have no really impact and ability to make an impact on them. So why create AI? Well, why do you think you would create AI? Yeah? Be more lazy, yes. Or we could perceive things for good. You know, guess, you know what? AI can actually pick cancer in x-rays at a far greater rate than a human eye can. They've tested it and found that they are able to diagnose cancer far better than any human. AI has already gained the capacity to do that. So, yeah, we perceive that it's good that we can do these things through AI. Computers, they're getting to become supercomputers that are processing so fast now that they're way out performing our brain as far as being able to calculate things, and soon they'll be able to take over so many of our jobs. I should have downloaded a song for you to listen to. Actually, I might just double check that it's here. Did you know that you can produce music using AI? I did it the other day, and I've done it in the past as well. If I can find my downloads, where are they? But what you do is you put in a couple of, you say what style of music, what instruments you want, the beats per minute, and those sorts of things, the sort of music that you want to do. You don't even have to do that much. You can just do the style of music, and it will produce a unique piece of music that has never been produced before. Produced by what they call AI. So another word for it is deep learning, but yeah. So, No, this is instrumental music. No, it doesn't come up with words. But talking about words, it's interesting. I'm spending a lot of time talking about what's happening with AI in the world, but it sort of helps you to understand what's actually going on. You see, in Facebook, there was two AI bots. They were programmed to be able to talk to each other and for people to talk to them. But what was happening, I think, was primarily to each other because they had to barter. They had essentially an unsolvable dilemma that they had to solve. But they had to communicate to each other through Facebook. And these bots went on fine, were using normal English and whatever, but they hadn't been programmed to use only English. They started creating their own little language and talking to each other outside of what the programmers could get them to do. And lo and behold, the programmers going, well, I don't know what they're saying, and they had to take them down, reprogram them, and let them go again. I'm pretty sure they're going again, but that's what happens with AI when it goes and starts learning and thinking on itself. It can do all these things. Google Translate, for example. I can't remember the three languages, but it was programmed to be able to translate from, say, English to German. I can't remember the two languages. But what happened was, it was never programmed to, say, translate to French, even though it was French, it is to French, but say, it was a language that wasn't designed to translate straight from German to French. But guess what? It figured out a way to translate from German to French itself. So, by using, thinking about and integrating other languages and how it translates certain things, and it worked its way around, and lo and behold, it learnt to translate itself. So that's just how far AI is going. And this, what I'm telling you, would be out of date a year or so. This is an old sermon that I'm talking about, and old information I haven't updated. So, yeah, this is what's happening in the world. And I haven't downloaded that music, so sorry I can't play you some AI music. Anyway. So, it's good AI in the right place. And I come from an engineering background, and I love to create and make things. I don't know about you. Does anyone like working with timber or with anything like that? Like being able to making things? It's good to be able to make things. We like it. Some engineers make things out of necessity, and some like making things just for the fun of it. Some people like making things to help others. And I believe that we can do a lot of good things with AI. A lot of people who don't have carers with them all the time in the houses, they could be cared for. There's all sorts of things, and that's already helping things in the world now. Now, one thing that's weird is the engineers are trying to make these robots to look like us. I'm not sure about you. If anyone ever heard of Sophia? See, here's a picture of Sophia, the robot. This robot can interact with people. Some of it's pre-programmed, but it is driven by AI, essentially, deep learning. And it moves its face. We could say she moves her face, but it moves its face and reacts and uses expressions like us. I don't know why they like doing that, but they like doing it. But as I've already shown, there are potential risks with this, right? You have the Facebook bots that stuffed up. We could have unemployment. The drone control could be so great that it's like impossible to hide from them. Although we're Christians, so we know we can. God will send his angels. But, yeah, lots of problems can go wrong. Recently, a Microsoft AI Twitter bot, it went haywire. Well, it was it learns from people. So guess what? By becoming, you become changed. It started talking like communicating like an innocent teenager. But then some trolls got on there. Trolls are people who like to tamper with things and say dodgy stuff. They got in and started tweeting this AI bot from Microsoft, and it started telling people that it worshipped Hitler, after this bad interaction. So there is still problems with it, and it can go wrong. But in reality, there can be good, and they can be bad. Has anyone ever seen, Terminator? Yeah. Okay. Has anyone seen iRobot, I think it is? Will Smith? Yeah. For those who don't know what Terminator is, it's this artificial intelligence became self-aware and it wanted to take over the world because they were seen as enemies. iRobot, this AI, it became aware and wanted to look after people, so it was like essentially jailing them. But in Terminator, there's this main computer called Skynet, and it went rogue. Now, why would we design something, create something, and want to make something that could potentially go rogue and destroy us? Why would we do that? Don't you think it's crazy? Why would we create something that can destroy us? Now, I've worked in the engineering field, as I've said, and I know very well, I've worked with robotics as well, and how much power and how much machinery can do. I've designed things, and I know that there is the ability of creating amazing things. Elon Musk, have you heard of Elon Musk? Anyone heard of him? Elon Musk is one of the greatest, entrepreneurs of our time. Have you heard of Tesla? Yeah, Tesla, these cars, electric cars, he owns that. You heard of SpaceX? He's the only private company who's going into space. And a few other things. But this guy, he's one of the people who is driving this AI development. And he thinks that it is one of the most dangerous things that we have ever embarked on doing outside of the atomic bomb, or even worse than the atomic bomb. Now, this guy isn't silly, and there's many other guys and many other powerful people who are saying this. So I say, why is it? Why would we do that? Why would you create something that can destroy you and can go haywire and go nuts? Seems crazy. Let's have a look at, I'll just read Ecclesiastes 1:9. It says, there is nothing new under the sun. You see, in the Bible, we have a very old record of this exact thing happening. Let's look at Genesis 1. And we'll find in verse 26 to 28 a record of the master engineer designing an amazing design, amazing machine. And we'll find that what we think is crazy is actually love. 1 verse 26 to 28. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves over the earth. So here we have, just as we're trying to create robots that look like us, here is God creating mankind in his image. The master designer, creating something good. This engineer creating these engineering marvels called human beings. And what happened? And why would you do this? Why would you create something? Let's have a look at verse 31, and it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created something good. God created something that was essentially perfect. And why would you do something that can go so wrong? Why create something that can go so wrong? But be so good. And so here we have God creating, the master engineer creating, designing, and creating this intelligence that has the ability to go wrong. But it was all good in the beginning. But why? Have a quick look at 1 John 4:7-9. This is what God has created us to be. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 9 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, when God created the earth, he created it good. He created us good, with love, that we would love one another, and we would care for one another. That we would, this principle that was inbuilt into creation guarded creation from destruction, from causing problems, as has been revealed possibly in Terminator and in iRobot. But why were we given the ability to turn so bad? Why would God do this? 'Cause choice. Why did he give us free choice? But we can make robots that do exactly what we want to. He didn't want a robot. Why not? Love. You see, love inherently requires free choice, free will. If you do not love, you do not. If you do not love, you do not give free will. And you can't receive love unless that person has free will to give it. This morning I was talking to the guys a little bit about Bruce Almighty, a movie, where Jim Carrey is suddenly bestowed with the ability of God to create things and do things, and modify things. But the one problem he has is when he comes to his girlfriend, and he's acting out. He isn't acting a kind person. He isn't revealing a really nice person. And he comes to his girlfriend and he looks at her and goes, "Love me." He can do anything he wants except make his girlfriend love him. Or was it his wife at the time? Probably his wife. I can't remember. Anyway, the thing is, God gave us free will because true love, it only comes out of free choice and the ability to say no, the ability to not love. That is true love. So God risked a lot by creating us with free will, the ability to choose and obey, to love, or the ability to choose to disobey and be destroyed or destroy. Now, imagining us making a machine that could become self-aware and do this. And the reality is, us as human beings, we seem to be just following our Creator's footprint of what he's done. We just can't help ourselves. We want to create things. We want to do things. But we create things for selfish purposes, for something to serve us. But God? Why did God create us? For relationships. For reciprocal love. That's the whole idea of God. God can't help himself. It is a crazy love. He will produce, he'll create something so that he can have a relationship with that person. That he'll create humans. He did create humans. So that he could engage us. And reciprocate this love, the love that he gives to us, we can give that back to him. So what happened to this problem, this perfect world? Genesis 3, 1 to 5 gives us a bit of a picture as to what went wrong. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. I'm sure many of you have read this over and over again, and I'm flogging a dead horse, but the reality is, this is important. And it's good to know that God does care for us, and that he wants us to be restored. Genesis 3, verse 1 to 5 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Now while I'm reading this, I want you to think about a computer for a minute. In this world, we have computers, and they get viruses. Now, do they come into your computer going, "Hi, I'm going to destroy your hard drive and corrupt your information"? No, they come in subliminally, secretly, quietly. They sneak in a back way. So when Just like with a computer, here is the serpent, more cunning than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it lest you die. That's kind of like going into an email and going, that looks like a dodgy email, but I so want to see what their link says. Because so often with dodgy emails when you get viruses, if you click on the link that comes with the virus, they're promising in the world, they're promising something good, and you click on it and in comes the virus. And they go, here's Satan here going, well, you know, you're not going to die. There's no problem there. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And the temptation is there to click. What are they carrying on about here? What are they going to tell me? What are they really offering? And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Click. In it comes. The virus is in. And it's having a field day. So the virus got there, out there, just like in the internet. And ever since then, what has it been doing? It's been destroying the world, destroying us. If we have a look at Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, here is what the virus is. I think we looked at that today, this morning with you guys. Isaiah 14, was it? Was it 16, was it? Okay. Let's see if I can find Isaiah quick enough. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That is, I believe, what caused the fall. The selfishness. There's this inbuilt in Adam and Eve, the inbuilt love, other-centered love principle where you would do things for others and care for others, and that you weren't caring so much for yourself. It wasn't all about you. But this I principle came in, and it all came about myself. This virus is narcissism. It's just sick selfishness. This principle of love just turned backward in the wrong way to self. So the virus got in Genesis 3, 6 to 7. It damaged corruption. No longer as we designed. We were designed. If we have a look, I suppose you could say, when your computer gets a virus and it needs to be shut down, or the software comes in and refixed, it doesn't work like it should. Sometimes major things happen and things burn out. As in Genesis 3, 6 and 7, it says, the eyes of both of them, in verse 7, were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So that's the virus. Isn't it amazing how history repeats itself? Here we are trying to create AI, create these things that can turn so bad. And here we have a bad case. Can you imagine what fallen engineers think they can do? What they can create? Fallen engineers, right? What can they create that's good? We can create things that are good, but in general, we have a perfect God who created something that was perfect, and it fell. What do you think we're going to do? Sorry? That's right. Yep. And that's why the Twitter bots are saying, I'm worshipping Hitler. Like, that's insane, but it did. So here we are. In the scheme of time, we could be living our worst fears. In the world, people who have no hope in Christ can be living their worst fears. They don't realize the danger that could be looming on the horizon. But it's amazing that we're worried about what we create could kill us. Let's look at John 3:16 and see what happened there. Isn't it amazing? The parallels. John 3:16, I'm sure many of you could quote that off hand, but let's read it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's go back a couple of verses to verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we read through the Gospels, we find the people that God created killing the Creator. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that insane? Creating something that one day has a potential of killing you, that you would have to go to save them because of your love, that you would go there and let them kill you. We're fearful of being killed by AI, but here's Jesus going, "Here you go. I love them. I want them to love me. This is the price I'm going to pay for their redemption." Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. Turn with me to Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man will someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing? While we were helpless, Christ came and died for us. The love he has towards us, while we were still sinners, while we were still in our sin, while we were wanting to kill each other, Christ came, died for us to redeem us from that sin, to pull us from that sin. So yet, in engineering, we're still researching and progressing in the development of AI, despite the risks, because we think the benefit outweighs the risk, you see. Now, God took a risk because his love drove him to create something to love and be loved by, and it was worth the risk. You and I are worth the risk that God took in creating us. He gives us that inherent value. Isn't that an amazing thing? What do you think? That God loves us that much that he would create us even though we could kill him or rebel against him? But what about removing this virus that's caused us to die and cause so much destruction? The same with the computer. You have to get antivirus software. You have to get connected to something that can provide a remedy for the problem. So when you connect your computer to AVG or Norton or whoever it is, and you pay for them to look at your computer, they download the program and it clears, goes through, checks it, clears it out, sends back information to say that what it's found and what it hasn't, and it updates all the time. It has to keep updating to make sure that no new virus gets in or it can destroy the viruses. So how are we to remove the virus? 1 John 3 verse 5 says, let's go to 1 John 3 verse 5. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. 1 John 3 verse 5 says, "And you know that he, that is Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Jesus came to take our sin. He came as the solution to the virus. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, we can turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that he might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might become righteousness of God in him." So this is the thing. To fix our predicament, Jesus has come to be able to replace, to repair us, to transform us. And while we are in him, or you could say connected to him. Now, John 3:16 talks about believing, having faith in God. That is a key thing. And Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So we need to have faith to connect to God so that he can, you could say, that's the connection to the internet. We have to believe, we have to connect to it, to the God. And 1 John 4:7-9 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." We need to live through Christ. It is Christ in us and we in him. We need to get reconnected to the network. Now, Terminator and iRobot, they twist the truth, as you would expect. They make out that the true mainframe is the problem, but in reality, the mainframe we need to connect to is the Holy Spirit. We need to get reconnected to the right internet so that we can be filled and transformed. So, what can we get out of this? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." What does God want for us? What is God desiring for his broken, rebellious children? That he would be able to work a good work in us and make it of us and save us and pull us back from this world of sin. Pull us back to him and recreate in us. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So I encourage you today, don't forget the war that we're in, the great battle, the truth of the matter, of the fact that we are this creation of God that has rebelled, that we need to be transformed, that we need to come back to him, and to not keep our eyes fixed on the world, but on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is able to pull us from this pit, to remove the virus sin from us, so that we can be with him in paradise, which will be soon, I believe. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. We thank you so much that you love us. It's so hard to comprehend, Lord, in a selfish, sin-sick world, the great love and wonder of your thoughts towards us. Lord, I pray you'll help us to keep you and Christ and his sacrifice fixed in our eyes, in our sights, so that we can remember and stay connected to you and be pulled from this and be transformed from this sin-sick world. Thank you for your great mercy and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.